Awesome.
I don't stick to something.
But, yeah.
So my father always kept telling us, two heads can think better than one. So that was like, since I was little, so on one hand, I really abide rules. And it used to really bother me to watch people run red lights. You know? Well, because I had seen so many accidents.
Don't go to India and don't go to Mexico.
I can tell you, and that's why when I go to El Salvador, I don't drive.
I've seen in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, that whole area too. It's just...
Oh, yeah, forget it. In India, forget it.
Uh-huh. Hi, Lynn.
Yes, so I am mellowing.
Very good. Hi, Jill. Hi, Jeanette. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Okay, hi, Lynn. All right, it's very exciting and fun to see everybody coming back on board. Yay. Okay, so we have about 2 more minutes before we will officially start. And I hope that we can get, I know she's planning on joining Anne from Hawaii, Maui, and with the storm going on over there. So we'll see, hopefully, and Rita Marie. We'll hopefully be able to join us from there.
Yeah, when I spoke with her last night, I was having some full moon insomnia, and so I was actually up the same time she was, and she said that she was planning on being on, and so
that's great. Yeah, it's going to be early for her.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But she's been really trying to keep to that schedule because she's going to have to come home eventually. And, just want to make it too hard to get back into that.
There's Anne. Good morning, Anne. How is it going there? We were just talking about you guys over there.
Well, it's the weirdest thing because we're on a protected part of the island. We got a few little rain showers. That's it.
Wow. How lucky is that?
Yeah. I think the other end, like the east end of Maui where Hana is, it got dumped on. And then there was a lot of problem over in Lahaina on the west side where they had some winds, heavy rains, and then they've had a bunch of fire.
Oh, wow.
Transformer blew and set the hillside on fire. So it was kind of chaos everywhere except for this little area where I live and where Rita Marie is staying. So
good.
We didn't get our feet wet.
Oh boy, well that's a relief. I'm glad to hear you're safe and that all is well there, and I hope it doesn't hit too badly. I just pulled myself off of my headset. Okay. Okay, so it's 11 o'clock, so yay, everybody's here, and hopefully there will be a few more joining us in a moment or two. So we're going to get started, and why don't we I want to just start with this is our last official group class, but what I'd like to do is in our integration session next week, we will all come together for a final integration session. So we'll do a big group connection at the start of the hour next Saturday. And then we'll do a breakout sort of closing with our small groups for about 20 minutes. And then we'll come back together in a big group closing as well. So we'll do 60-minute call. First 20 minutes will be all of us together as a group for closure and checking in. And then we'll do a 20-minute small group with our group that we've been traveling with. And then we'll come back together as a big group for 20 minutes again at the very, very end of the call. So just know that that's going to happen next Saturday, okay? So it'll be a little bit different from our full hour time with our small group so that we can kind of really close out the material from everything. And for those of you who have not caught up on your homework, I really want to encourage you to take this next week of time and get caught up and do everything as much as you possibly can to complete the course right now, all right? And remember that if you want certification, that that's also required, that you get the homework completed and handed in your small group. Sure. The other thing to know is that you have, if you turn in your homework after the class is finished, then you will have to pay a fee to your small group teacher to read it. Because during the course, that's included in our responsibilities to you. But after the course, that's a delinquency that you're costing us extra time to invest in. So we will be passing along a homework reader fee. If you decide that you want certification and you're behind in your homework, then you will need to pay for that after next week. Is that clear to everybody? Okay, so that's another incentive to get your homework done and caught up if you're behind. And you might not think you want certification now, but I really want to encourage you to not just do it for certification, but really do it for your own personal growth. Because this work is not arbitrary what these assignments are. They're really there for you to grow. Okay, so before we do a check-in, let's just take a deep breath. And let yourself land and do a little grounding. Tap your feet on the floor. Tap your legs. Kind of get into your body a little bit. Do some deep breaths. Rock back and forth on your sits bones a little bit. And let yourself land. And just put yourself in your body. And close your eyes for just a minute. And draw your center line. And breathe. And really let yourself land here in our group class. And then when you open your eyes, I want you to just take a look around and see everybody who's here. I know we've got one person on the phone there. Is that you, Dorothy?
Thea, I think. Thank you.
Oh, Thea. Okay. Hi, Thea. If there's any way you can join us on camera, that would be wonderful. And if not, that's okay. But we'd love to see you if you can. And look around, everybody, and see who's here, who we're on the ship with today. I know we're missing Tony today. She's got to teach. And we're missing Steph today. And I'm hoping Rita Marie is going to be able to join in with us. Okay, so... Hi, welcome back. And just a couple reminders to listen deeply, hold the intensity of what comes up in our course today for yourself and for other people. Remember to welcome diversity and to respect the confidentiality of our group. As we grow closer, as we have grown closer as a group, our sharing gets deeper because the trust and the bond gets deeper and we feel safer. So as that happens, then there's more intimate sharing that naturally unfolds and transpires here. So really want you to also be mindful of that, respecting that, holding that, and breathing and feeling that we are all, just imagine that we're all sitting in the same circle together. We actually will be very soon. I'm so, so excited about being in the same room live, embodied with all of you in September for those of you who are coming. So we'll get to go even deeper then. So let's just start with a little brief check-in. And Rosie, would you like to get us started and just see how you're doing and how this rigid chapter was for you? Any introductory remarks about it?
The rigid, well, you know, I really big things, eye-opening things that happened for me, and it was really weird. I put this down my homework to Kim, is that not everyone around me was rigid, but now it wasn't me. I mean, you know, I was always a victim or whatever. I mean, they were whatever. And it just, I don't know. It just kind of little bits and pieces of my, me would apply to me. And I was like, whoa, I think I found myself in this one too. It's just weird because it just, the revelations come as you're going through it thinking and you and getting to the meat of this particular pattern. And that happened to me the first time around with the Endure. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't find one for me for a long time. And so, you know, slowly, I can't say I'm more one than the other. I think I'm pretty evenly split, but I can definitely see how the different patterns apply to me.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I spent the first year identifying them to everyone else.
Yeah, right. So it's always easier to see it in somebody else than it is to see it in ourselves, for sure.
It is.
And and you know, the other thing too is that different parts of our personality or different situations or different other people evoke certain characteristics more of the personality patterns with us. So thank you for bringing that point out.
Thank you.
Louisa.
Well, this was really enlightening because I really felt as I was reading it that I couldn't have picked a better profession for me, because every single day all I do is resolve problems. And I am very methodical, and that's how I don't get confused when I have like I'm the person they will refer harder cases or after they've exhausted a lot of things. But I always go, why can't they see this? And that's because I now see where I just break everything and just go in steps and get to the bottom of something. Mm-hmm. It's so I don't let it confuse me.
Yeah.
So this is just so enlightening. It's like I'm going, oh my gosh, God really knew what I was doing when I did this. So this has been really good.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I love that. That's a great example of the gifts that are born out of that pattern. Beautiful. Thank you, Louisa. Mm-hmm. Janet.
This is a pattern that I see in people. I was aware of rigid and not being flexible. I used to say, oh, you're too young to be so rigid to people. And now I understand more. I can be more compassionate with it. I had no idea that people saw in that, when they're in pattern, particularly in that very narrow, and why they did. That was brand new to me. I didn't know that.
That's great. That's a great aha. I love that for you. Thank you. Lynn Johnson. Linda Beer Johnson.
Yeah, this has been and I knew I had rigid for different reasons, but it really started coming up this week as I evaluated and, you know, just did it naturally, organically, the patterns I've created in my life, the routines, and because I was allowing myself to use the routines that I've seen other successful people that I admire, what they use, because I didn't trust myself to create my own. And over the last week, I have like wiped the slate clean and like, okay, what do you want? What do you feel is for your best and highest good? And just really allowing myself to play with the idea of creating my life and what that will look like and what that will feel like when I'm on that path. Not when I necessarily achieve the goal, but just being on that path. And it's been delightful, very freeing, very light.
Great. That's great. Yeah, some of us really have to cultivate the gifts of that rigid pattern. So I love that you're kind of embracing that. Thank you. Jan.
One of the
Jan Stovers. Sorry. That's all right. I'm kind of going down the aisles here, but go ahead, Jan. Go ahead, Jan Chamberlain, since you've got us started.
Okay. Well, one thing really quickly that I noticed is I've really been exploring the concept of value this week, and that I can be valued for me. I can be valued for being and not for performing and not for my performance. Mm-hmm. And that I do have value outside of my performance, regardless of my performance. And also that if I relax, nothing horrible is going to happen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's great. That's nailing right there the core fear of the rigid pattern right there you just named. So thank you for that. All right. Other Jan Stover.
Hi. I like this chapter. I haven't read that much into it yet, but it seems to be the most universal. I feel very comfortable with it. I can definitely see in my life, you know, how that is. But I see it in my friends. I see it in my family. It just feels like it's less scary than some of the other patterns that we've looked at. There's a lot of positives that can come with it. Certainly I've seen the downside as well, but I'm just enjoying reading it and getting to know more about that.
Great. Thanks, Jan. Valerie.
Well, it's interesting. This is my primary pattern, and I'm kind of living it right now because I have so much going on and I'm really stressed. I'm about to go visit my mom, and that's going to be very stressful. So I'm taking solace in my lists and trying to make sure I have all the bases covered and all of the situations that are going on, trying to cover them. So it's going to be interesting to – I haven't been able to read that much of it, but what I've read, it's me.
Yeah. I love that you can so clearly identify that for yourself, and even just the, you know – the stress that you're describing of, you know, when there's so many details to have to manage and, you know, that's it. That's the wounding. That's the pattern of it. So it's great that you can see that. So thanks.
Now, if I can just survive it.
You are a resilient woman. Michelle.
So I think someone else said this in another class. The more you read, the more you go, that's me too, and that's me too. And you see in yourself, and then you see in others. So for me, I read it. I had some parts I could identify with. Some that I felt like, going back to what Jan Chamberlain was saying, I had in the past, but I've seen progress towards more the gifts, which is nice. And what I liked is it was also an epiphany for me. I do project management, which goes kind of to that organization. And you deal with, you know, you're kind of a mom. You're dealing with a lot of personalities and dynamics. And it was like an epiphany as I read this, because just yesterday I was dealing with one of the team members, and I was thinking, why does he insist on this, but having to stay patient? And I'm like, oh, now I have some tools. It sounds like it's matching to a rigid pattern. So,
yay. Yeah. Great.
It's a nice road of discovery.
Excellent. Yes. And there are definitely tools, which is wonderful. Mary Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been working a lot with relationships lately, and I've been noticing how there are some subtle ways that I like to be right. And I think this is part of the rigid, or and maybe the controlling one too. And I've been realizing that not everyone has read this book. In fact, nobody has. And so I've been looking at letting go of judgments of people that haven't figured it out yet. And because I want to have a relationship with everybody that knows how to do these structures, and then hardly anybody in my outside life does. So it's just a realization that everybody's really doing the best they can, and we should get off of that expectation and judgment about not everybody is going to be able to talk this language. And
yeah. Thank you for bringing that point up, because I'm going to come back and address that very thing, because it's so important. Mm-hmm. And so we'll come back to that in a little bit. So thanks, Mary Lynn. Jeanette, hi.
Well, I just got back from vacation, so I'm kind of have a little rigid in me right now, because I'm getting everything unpacked and cleaned, and then school starts for my daughter. So, and that's okay, you know, so... I think for me also, relationships, Marilyn talked about that. That's, I've married someone who's rigid. So we had to learn to find the balance with that. And had I not learned about this work, it may not have been so pleasant. So we've been together for 33 years. And so I work on myself now, and whatever I've learned about myself, I become the example of what someone else sees, and then they learn about themselves, and it's really strengthened our relationship. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for bringing that point out. And I love how you express that too. It's really through our embodiment of what we've learned that other people will be impacted by, and they will by, mm-hmm. but not what we tell them to do, but by our living it. And that's the real change, right? So thanks, yeah. Jeanette, for that.
No problem.
Anne.
I've been kind of pondering the business about referencing self versus having the reference be outside of self. And reading this chapter got me to like really look at that for myself, because I think that I've always had trouble self-referencing. You know, a lot of what I heard in this chapter was my mother's voice, things like table manners and stand up straight and don't hold your fork that way. And it's so interesting. And then there's another piece of this that is cultural, like the small town I grew up in had a personality and a culture that was unique, as a lot of small towns have. And there's a lot of that's kind of in me about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And, you know, it takes something to break out of that, I think. Anyway,
yes.
I've been noticing that.
Yeah, thanks for that, bringing that point out. Yes, it's quite a journey to break the patterns that were instilled in us in early childhood, because they were so wrapped up with love and approval, which are crucial, crucial, crucial for us when we're young. So thanks, Anne, for that. Deborah.
Hi, everybody. A long time ago that my mom, there's like a legacy pattern of the rigidity pattern. And with my mom being so hysterical and whatnot, it's like you grow up in this tunnel vision. And even though chaos is going around in your life, the thing is that I would not have been able to expand my horizons if I hadn't gotten out of that patterns that were in my family at 18 years old. And, you know, and it took an illness for me, because I look at the different patterns and about how the full spectrum of even disease is the same thing as the full spectrum of every one of these patterns. It's almost like it's, you know, because we're all, you know, integrated, you know, differently, and that we, if we didn't have some of these patterns and the gifts from the patterns, we may just live our life in chaos. And because most humans, you know, live that way and live in that subconscious, you know, patterns that they have, that they've written long ago, unless we learn stuff like this and to get out of the pattern and recognize those gifts, and we can give those gifts and have them recognize it so that we can actually have more peace in the world. And, you know, so this week was a real big issue with, you know, just this one guy. I mean, I had to work with him for 4 days, and he was just all over the map. I just saw this little boy over there, just like constantly, I make announcements, he'd be in my face trying to make me make a mistake or do all these little patterns of things. And he's 49 years old. And I'm just like thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I couldn't believe on how he was trying to jeopardize all kinds of things that I was trying to do in my system, that his system was totally distracting. And so I had to actually get out of my rigid pattern and then address things in the present moment instead of like launching at them in an aggressive pattern. Mm-hmm. So I had to go and learn, and all the stuff I've learned, I've been able to like hold it in, to just stay there and then let him finish what he's doing. And then I'll address it, but I don't even think he even recognized that I even addressed it. So it was, yeah. So I'm using it in my professional life.
Oh,
so
that's great.
Yeah.
That is so great. I love that story. And thank you for sharing that and how applicable it was for you in that, and how you were able to make a different response than responding in your aggressive pattern and even see that for yourself. And also bringing back that point about how these really were born as gifts for us initially. They were not born. They were not originated as, you know, because we were screwed up. They came about to help us, to take care of us, to make us safe. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that we keep revisiting that. So thanks, Deborah. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn Rose.
Okay. Hi. Hi. I just realized this is a big chunk of my trilogy. So I grew up in a household of this, so it was both parents. And I just came back from visiting my son and his family. So I came from a family, and I gave a family of rigids. The good thing is, the last time I went to visit them, my rigidity came out, and it caused a conflict. And this time I reeled it in and kind of let things flow and didn't criticize like I tend to do. So everything went a whole lot better this time.
Wow,
so.
Yay!
It was really funny because I was seeing, because I have three grandchildren, and the two girls, well, the little one's too young, but the two girls have distinct personalities, and I was able to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on with them. So different. So they all have rigid, but they all have that other piece to them too, so.
Mm-hmm. It was very beautiful. Wow, I love that happened for you and for your family. Look at the impact we can have already. Thanks for sharing that. Jill.
Hi. I grew up in a rigid environment. My dad had spent time in the service, and just a very, I look at it and it was very perfect. You know, everything was in place. Everything was in order. We ate it this time and that time. And, you know, and I actually really loved it. And I haven't been able to keep that degree of order in my home, but I still like it. And in my life. So I feel somewhat of a, conflict within myself between really liking some of the, what I would call the gifts of the rigid, and yet seeing some negatives of myself of the rigid pattern that I like. Anyway, it's kind of all mixed in there, because I saw myself in some of the other patterns too.
So, you know, when we, if we didn't have a chance to safely complete autonomy, like individuate and rebel and have our no, then it could be, you know, you're bringing up a really interesting point, because then it could be really challenging for us to fully embracing of the gifts of the rigid, right? The gifts that are there. So there's that. So what I'm hearing you say, I think, if I'm tracking it correctly, is that you love some of that rigidity, and there's a part of you that doesn't. So that there may be something interesting there for you to take a look at. Not that one is right or wrong, or that you should love it or not, but just it's very interesting to me what you just shared. So thank you for that awareness. Okay, Kimberly.
So I've been grateful for having a little bit of this pattern the last 2 weeks when my son was first injured. I definitely went to my primary, I believe, which is more the leaving pattern and kind of checking out. And as we move through the process of healing, and now all the details of dealing with hospital bills and doctor's appointments and all of these details, thank goodness I have the rigid pattern to kind of, it's helping me feel safe, and it's helping me feel just feeling organized and having order makes things feel kind of normal again. So I think it's maybe a secondary kind of thing for me once I get past the total overwhelm of the situation and get grounded back into my body. I come into this rigid pattern, and it's been useful. So I've appreciated it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some great gifts to this pattern. Just great. So thanks for naming those. Okay. Dorothy.
Hi.
Well,
I've been the squirrel who didn't know which side of the road to go to. I feel like I'm moving back and forth, in and out all the time. I see myself in so many of these patterns. And, you know, I think as I left this chaotic childhood, I wanted some, and a young adulthood, I wanted order. I felt that order protected me, where this chaos, there was no way for me to control anything. And going into more of a rigid pattern helped me to stay. I don't know that I was always present, but it helped me feel safer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you just hit the key right there. That's the purpose of the wound that it's originally born out of, to make us feel safer. So that, and that's the way we did it. So thanks for sharing that. Great. Taryn.
I haven't finished the chapter, but I know I definitely pinpoint like the order and right and wrong, black and white, you know, especially in my 20s and 30s. But I think, like, as I've gotten older, I'm a little more less rigid.
Good.
Order and stuff. You know, I'm trying to be.
Uh-huh.
Things aren't black and white, and there is a gray area, and, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. What's right for me might not be right for someone else.
Yeah. So, yeah. Beautiful.
My daughter.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that's the real trick, right, is applying it to our closest family members. So beautiful. Thanks, Taryn. Janine.
Well, this is the pattern that I think I most identified. I think I underlined the whole chapter. And but I did recognize this within myself. And so these last couple of years, this is why I've kind of moved into this work, is because I feel that there is a real need for me to validate my own feelings and get back in touch with my own feelings. And because that never really existed for me growing up. And so identified a lot in this chapter, and I consider myself a recovering perfectionist.
I love that. A recovering perfectionist. That's great. Great. Thanks, Janine. Beautiful. More to come. Rita Marie, yay, you got to be here with us.
You did. It's 6 a.m, but I'm here.
Yay.
I've been up early every day since I've been here and survived. No hurricane. Yay. Yeah, so this pattern is an interesting one for me because my first response is, ugh, that's not me. I'm just such a scatterbrain. I'm all over the place. I'm free-flowing, spontaneous. But then I have a lot of the gifts from this pattern and probably some of the downsides in my stubbornness. But I have a lot of the gifts in this pattern and need to, right? I need to in order to be able to run a business. And yeah. There are certain things that I am very rigid about in the business. Like I need, you know, this email to be structured this way and I need, you know, to say this. And so that those gifts are really helpful for me. I also recognize that I need someone in my organization that has the gifts of this pattern, but I have so little patience, and this is teaching me to have more patience and acceptance with the rigidity, like that severe lack of flow. I always say I'm the type that I want to do it a certain way, but if somebody shows me a better way, boom, I'm going to switch on a dime. And to my fault on a dime, because sometimes it's too, like, oh, let's just change it to that way. This way is better. Mm-hmm. So I recognize the gifts. I recognize in myself I recognize these patterns in myself, but I also recognize my impatience. And we had someone on our team years ago who had this I don't think she had anything from any other pattern except for this. And it drove the whole team nuts because nobody did anything right ever, right? Lynn is grinning, so she knows who I am speaking about. But right now we're in a situation that I'm like, I wish Stacy was here. Oops, sorry. I wish she was here to do this. I wish she was here to do that because, you know, nobody else has that strict standard and we need some of that applied to some of the things that are going on. So I recognize the gift. I recognize my impatience. And I know that I have some of this because Scott will always say, well, you're just so black and white, which is probably a statement that you would say about somebody within this pattern.
Yes, you're right on the money there. That's right. And, you know, and you're also right in that it's not, there's a lot of play in this pattern. And there's also some very interesting overlap between this pattern and the controlling pattern. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I'm glad you brought that point out too. So thank you for that. Mm. Okay, Thea.
Good morning. First of all, Laura, I want you to know I'm sitting in a very clean office.
Very good. You really prepared for today's class.
I couldn't just have the bottle here in the thing. So this pattern and its gifts of learning, I feel like it's the price of admission to doing this program and this work together. And ever since the NEPT retreat, I've been working on reparenting myself and my mother. And this is so emotional because I was working on my fun pillar this week and I went to the Botanic Gardens and I learned how to carve spoons out of wood. I made a beautiful wooden spoon that I'll have to grab. And as I refined and sanded the bowl, a heart emerged in the bowl. Mm-hmm. And just this morning, just now, with all you guys are sharing, which I'm so grateful for, it's connecting me to my mother and her beautiful rigidity, which is tied to the spoons that I got walloped with as a child on the butt. And bending over, grabbing your ankles, and getting walloped with the spoon. I broke a spoon once, or whoever was administering the punishment broke it. This is all, and I'm sorry if this is convoluted, but it's tying me back to my mama and her survival pattern of rigidity because she won't even talk about her childhood and her relationship with her father.
Yeah.
Who was actually the woodworker. and who I dearly loved, and I saw a different side. So this is a very powerful chapter and learning for me. What I feel the greater gift is to help my sister and I and my mother all learn about our survival patterns with rigidity as a guide.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Thea. And, you know, I love the thread that you're connecting all the way back through your family history here around the rigidity pattern. And, you know, and it's also an interesting comment that you made about, you know, how generationally and in stages of what we go through, you know, your experience of your grandfather was very different than your mother's experience, right? And so generationally, just as we are here in the age and the stage of development that we are in ourselves, many of us in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever your age is right now, there's a whole new paradigm that of consciousness that you're bringing in, not only to yourself, but that will impact your family and continue to impact your family of origin. So as we just heard in some of these sharings, right? And so there's a lot more I could say about that, but I want to stay on target here. And I want to just say one or two more main points before we go to the PowerPoint about this character structure. And that is that, and all of the character structures, and that is that with the controlling and the rigid pattern, right, they are more old, they're older developmentally, right? The child is more able to survive and has its basic abilities to survive. The child can, you know, feed itself, clothe itself, run, jump, talk, has language, right? By the time they're about 4 years old, four to five to six to seven. So with those two older, the controlling pattern and the rigid pattern, they're able to survive. So, you know, you hear about third world countries where there are lots of homeless little kids living on the street, right? But they don't get any younger than four living on the street because they'd be dead. They would be dead. And they are dead if they're younger than that. But when they're about 4 years old, they can actually learn how to scrap along and survive themselves. So we're already at a little bit of an older developmental dimension when we're about that 4 to 7 age range of the controlling and rigid patterns. The younger ones from the endurer, the merging, and the leaving pattern, the younger ones that would be dead, those of us who have primary association or primary identification with or primarily patterned with the younger developmental stages have a very difficult time as adults understanding the people who have the older developmental wounds and vice versa. So in other words, and he mentions this briefly in the book, but I want to highlight it for a minute here because actually Deborah just gave us a great story about it, you know, in the, in your experience of working with this other pilot who was clearly in a very young developmental stage in his reactivity, right? He was really needy. He was intervening. He was, you know, those behaviors that he was doing were very defensively young. And if you are primarily wired for an older pattern, it's going to be a lot more challenging for you to understand the magnitude of the tenderness of the wounding around the younger patterns and vice versa. The older pattern's going to go, come on, get over yourself. Like, what's the big deal? Why don't you just solve the problem? Don't you get it? Get over yourself, right? And the younger ones are going to be thinking, how can you be so insensitive? This is not black or white. Like, you are such an insensitive, cold, bitchy human being for behaving that way. So these are there's almost like a dividing line where these kinds of conflicts show up more readily when there's that developmental age split and the wounding and of the pattern that's being played out. So usually that's where and why and how we are most challenged. Now, what I also want to say to you, the other point I want to make before we go into the PowerPoint and look at this pattern more closely, is that developmentally, I just lost my train of thought there. Oh, yes, it's understanding. It's not so important that you figure out, what pattern am I? Wait a minute, am I this one? Am I that one? Am I, you know, that's really not so important. If you can just kind of grok, am I in a younger pattern or in an older developmental pattern, that will help you. But the other thing that will mostly help you with yourself and with other people where you might have conflicts is to really trust and understand that if they're struggling with something, if they're having a hard time, if they're creating a problem where there seemingly isn't one, for them, there really is a problem. For them, it really is hard. If we can just understand and believe the truth of the pain, that the level of pain that they're communicating to you, that will go a very long way for you all as practitioners. Because one of the hardest places, right, is to be listening and thinking, well, that's not such a big deal, right, as a health coach or a practitioner. You know, I know what to do for them for that. You know, why is that such a big deal? If they're stuck in a pattern, it's a big deal for them. Even if I don't get it, it's okay if you don't get it, but just trust that it's a true dilemma for them. Okay, is that making sense so far? And then the last point I want to make is it's the one that Mary Lynn touched on, which is, and several of you have kind of said it also, it's not our job to change or fix anybody else. It's fine if you want to suggest somebody to read the book, or if you want to suggest somebody to, you know, do some of this work, that's fine. But it's a big mistake if we think we've got something up over somebody else because we've done this work. There's a real arrogance trap. Now, having said that, I'm not minimizing the power of the skill of these tools. They're incredibly powerful. This education that we are getting right now, incredibly powerful, incredibly dynamic. But don't think that that wisdom doesn't live in every other human being out there. They're just going about accessing it in a different way for themselves than through a course or a book. And that is a big, big trap of doing this work, this trap of subtle arrogance or gross arrogance, you know. And that's where whenever you hear yourself wanting to say, you got to read this book, you haven't done your work. I mean, I actually had a student, I couldn't believe it, I saw it on, posted on Facebook once, you know, well, it was a reactive comment that she had when somebody else challenged her. And she said, well, clearly you haven't done your work. I'm conscious. And I just wanted to go, oh my God, you took my class? You know, so I really want us to remember that your spouses, your family members, your significant others, your grandchildren, they have all that wisdom right inside of them. And the more we remember that and hold that, the more we will help ourselves and them to unfold that, but not by thinking we have anything over them. Okay, deep breath. Let's go to the PowerPoint. We are at the rigid pattern, energy pattern. So the essence of the gift, they are masterful at working with form and structure and creating beauty. And they can identify patterns. They have great rhythm. You might not have all of these, but you might have one of these more predominantly than another one. So just notice that too. They recognize details in space and they're masters of organizational systems.
Are you showing us, are you looking at a PowerPoint?
Oh,
we don't see
I didn't
it.
Do us, I didn't do the screen share. Yeah. That would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me come back and do that. Thank you. I missed the obvious. I was looking at it, but nobody else was. Okay. There we go. Have you got it now? Okay. You all can see this now, right? Okay. Good, good. Okay. So
now you need to show the slides so they're full screen and we don't see all your PowerPoint stuff around it.
Oh, do you see all my PowerPoint?
Slideshow. Slideshow. And then you...
Where is...
Right at the top it says slideshow.
I see it fine online.
Really? I just see it in PowerPoint rather than taking the full screen like it should.
Huh.
Just click to add notes at the bottom. Along the top, Laura, it says slideshow.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing that on mine for some reason.
You have to go to PowerPoint up in the left screen, left top.
I don't know why I'm not seeing that.
I think it's okay for now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a very good recording. And we see all your little lines and we see the little dotted lines around everything. And
all right, let me see if I can. I don't know why. Let me come out of that for a minute and see if I can do it this way better.
There's my rigid coming through.
Yeah.
I want, you know, if we're going to sell people recordings after the fact, it needs to be professional.
Yeah, we want it to be good, right? So let me close the chat. Maybe did that help at all?
We're not seeing anything now.
Oh, let me come back to. Great. Okay. Let's try this one more time. Any better or no?
No, it's the same. What we're seeing at the very top is animation, slideshow, review, view, format. Do you see that?
Oh, drawing yes, tool. I do see
yeah,
that.
Click on slideshow.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
And then click on from beginning, all the way to the left. It should say from beginning. It's all, yeah, you're not, it's off the screen, but I think if you move over a little bit, just grab it at the top.
It's not letting me move it.
So hit the little button that's set that the little next to the X, there's a little button that allows you to control between full screen and part screen. Hit that.
It's not letting me move over for some reason to grab it.
So go up to the top and click the button in between the X and the little dash.
The reason she can't do it, I believe, is if we notice Essence of the Gift is highlighted, she needs to go down to Masterful first. It's got the focus, maybe, and then see if it lets her move somewhere else.
It's not, yeah.
Laura, one more suggestion, see if this works for you. In the lower right-hand corner, next to where it says 64%, do you see that? There's a little slideshow just to the left of it. You click that button right there, see what happens.
Left to the right.
She has it.
Yay! We got it? All right. Okay. Very good. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Rita Marie. Okay. So we can recognize details in space, and we're masters of organizational systems. So this is, I love this table. I love this picture. It's absolutely gorgeous and elegant. And this is an, you know, definitely the gift of the rigid pattern person that created that. Okay. Purpose of the defense pattern is to shift away from internal experience and onto an external set of rules and standards to feel safe, stable, and secure, being correct and finding what is incorrect and fixing it. So let's find out why this, our goal is to get out of this pattern, to recognize your authentic essence is more important than its form. to value your inner experience above your performance, to soften your bound up beliefs and structure, and to relax into your authentic essential self, to identify your self-worth for being. This is what Jan was talking to us about earlier, right? Identifying your self-worth as being rather than what you do and whether rather than your accomplishments, rather than your doingness. Okay. So also gifts, form and structure, rhythm and timing, spatial awareness, beauty, masters of order and systems. So these are going to be great, you know, these are going to be heads of companies and CEOs and, you know, inventors and creators and people who, you know, are architects and accountants and who love details, who have an ability to have strong focused attention, who are balanced and stable and centered, who love beauty, who love to make themselves beautiful, who appreciate beauty. They're going to be oftentimes hairstylists and people in the fashion industry and people who are meticulous with detail, who love the details, who are highly responsible, dependable, and competent. And also, by the way, who have great integrity. They're oftentimes your great secret keepers. They have great morals. They have great boundaries. If you tell them don't tell anybody, they won't. If you tell somebody who's got the merging pattern person don't tell anybody, forget about it. It will go all over the community because they can't contain. Let's talk about the cause of this wound. Their experience of reality was negated or minimized, and external rules and performance and values were imposed in order to receive love. So that's what happened for this person. They were negated. Their internal experience was negated. Their feelings were negated or minimized. If they wanted attention from mom, if they wanted love and hugs, they had to have a clean room, they had to follow the rules, they had to obey all the outer standards of expectations. While I'm talking about this, you might want to do a little bit of sharing in the chat about how did you get love expressed to you when you were young, and how are you at orderliness, and how do you feel about following the rules? Are you rebellious, or are you the one who loves the rules? So you can do a little sharing while we go through this. Developmental needs. The request is, what am I feeling inside? There's such a lack of connection to what I'm actually feeling inside because I'm so wrapped up in the rules. And the need is to feel my own core. So look at this little child who's just having a delightful time in the mud and in the rain, right? Now, if you had the rigid wounding, when this little boy came home from playing, mom would take one look at him and slap him and say, "What's the matter with you? I told you never to get yourself in the mud. Don't you want to get sick? Go take off those clothes right now and don't ever, ever do that again." Now just imagine what you feel like just having heard me say that. If you were in this state of expansion and joy that you're seeing in this little boy's face right now, in that incredible expression, and boom, you got that smashed down. That's what happened here. That if you want love, if you want approval, if you want acceptance, you're going to turn that excitation, you're going to turn that valve off. And this is what happened. The task is to have the freedom and the gift. So what you're seeing here is, you know, wonderful reflection and mirroring of this father and daughter here, of her joyfulness, right? But this is what was lacking. And this is what we see here in this slide here with criticism equals caring. Okay, mother really is trying to raise the good child. So the children had to choose rules to earn love and approval. Right equals good. If you're a good boy, you're going to do it right. You're going to clean up your toys and put them away. Notice the spotlessness of this environment here. And notice already you can feel a sense of containment that's happening in these two children and their energy. Now, that's not all bad, right? In certain ways, this is a really important thing for children to feel this, but it's also really important for children to feel this kid in the mud, right? So both are required. And what happens is when this occurs, when I, you know, this little girl just had a blast, you know, probably playing fort and, you know, who knows what she was doing in here. But look at her face, right? Look at the expression. Look at the being caught. And now I'm being punished, right? I'm being punished for my playfulness rather than, okay, now you had fun. Let's clean up and put everything away. Let's fold it up nicely and put it back where it belongs. But there's a shaming that occurs here in this wounding, and a shaming that occurred here, and a contraction. You can see the expression in her in contraction. And what does the mom think she's doing? She thinks she's being a good mom. I'm teaching. I care about her. I want you to grow up not to be spoiled. So you're going to, you know, get criticized. And so there's a tricky balance that the parent is trying to learn how to do. So what happens, right? So here we are when we're this age, so a little bit older, right? This is almost prepubescent here with this little boy and this little girl, because the wounding can happen all the way up through this developmental age where I'm coming into my sexuality, into my sensuality, into my sense of self as a sexual identified being. And so I learn that I have to be perfect, successful, and sexy, or I'm worthless. So can you just see how we grow up from here to be this and from here to be that, right? If I'm not perfect, if I'm not successful, and if I'm not sexy, I'm absolutely worthless. So performance is everything. Performance is just everything. And there's a whole nother component which we don't have time to get to, unfortunately, but I'll just mention it here for a moment. And this is about the sexual development of the adolescent in this stage where there's a sense of myself as a little girl, as I become sexually identified, where there can be a rejection of the parent of the opposite sex. So if this is my dad here, and all of a sudden I start to walk around the house like this, daddy is going to go into a complete rejection of this, because daddy might feel some kind of normal, natural arousal that he would never act out on. But instead of doing that, because he's so afraid of his own arousal, he rejects this child in her budding sexuality. And this is where the age of the father-daughter dance, you know, I want my daddy to take me out dancing, and where the little girl naturally falls in love with her father. And if she's lucky, then he's has good boundaries. He allows her to fall in love with him appropriately without exploiting or abusing her sexually, but with acknowledging her, with letting, okay, you get to be my date for tonight, but also making it very clear that your mother is the one that I give myself to in a sexual way. The same thing can happen here with mother-son, that you know, the little boy falls in love with his mother, wants to protect his mother, wants to push the father out and away. And because this is how he's first learning about his sexual identity. And now this is not to say that, you know, I'm making generic statements about, I'm not about opposite sex and not same sex at the moment. And I'm not excluding that either, but, this is where sexual identity or gender confusion can begin in this developmental stage. And that has nothing to do with what we ultimately choose for ourselves with our own sexual expression. But clear boundaries are really, it's like what parent can do this completely appropriately or masterfully? Very, very few. Okay. So we are unconsciously disconnected from our authentic feelings. So what happens with the rigid pattern is this is my persona. This is my authentic self. For most people in the rigid pattern, so where we felt that extreme, like the extreme example that you gave, Rita Marie, about your former employee, they probably don't even know that behind this mask, I feel this. There's such a disconnection because no negative feelings are allowed. Negative feelings are not allowed. I'm not allowed to have them. So this is my true feeling self. How are you doing today? I'm fine. And they won't even know or notice that they have this tension underneath. They'll just feel like everybody else is wrong and it has to be corrected. So there's such a heartbreaking disconnection from their authentic feelings, because this is way too scary to own up that I feel this inside of me, or that I feel this disdain or negativity or hatred. There's a total rejection of what we call the lower self or the shadow self. And this is very confusing to those that you're dealing with, because they can feel this more than this person can feel this behind the mask. Okay, this person that you're interacting with can feel the energy behind your mask better than the person who is in the rigid pattern can feel it for themselves, because their life depends on disconnecting from their authentic feelings. So take a deep breath, because that's really heartbreaking if you get that. So the internal energetics result in a constriction in the core, in our energy core. There's all this tension happening here. Look at this persona, right? I'm just fine, honey. But I don't know why I keep getting these headaches, right? And there is a constriction. You can see it in the face here. You can feel it in the energy system. It could be back pain. It could be migraines. It could be anxiety. There's such a connection to the core of all of these personality energy patterns in physiological symptoms. Okay, so what are some of the thought patterns? Be appropriate. I'm wearing the perfect outfit. She looks ridiculous, right? Lots of judgments. Mistakes will be punished. I will not make a mistake. And if I do make a mistake, then I deserve to be punished. And I'll straighten her out, right? And so perfection means I have to have the perfect body. I have to have the perfect outfit. I have to have the perfect look. I have to have the perfect way of presenting myself in the world. Adult defensive actions, we will reference the rules. There is only one right way. And order equals safety. So this is why I must create order, because it's how I feel emotionally safe. Mistakes must be punished, and you are what you do. So therefore, if somebody is not performing up to snuff, then we are going to judge them as being less than. And only appropriate feelings are acceptable for me and also for you. Any behaviors that show inappropriate feelings in inappropriate places are not acceptable. You must never raise your voice at the workplace. You must never cry unless you're watching a sad movie. Okay, so whatever the appropriate occasion is for appropriate feelings, you're at a wedding, you must laugh and be happy. Okay, only appropriate feelings. Forms of energy release. Okay, so there's a lot of suppression that happens in this personality pattern. So we suppress our incorrect sensations. We organize and control the environment. We pull in and we constrict and we achieve, achieve, achieve. The inner critic voice says, I have to do this right. And there's tremendous anxiety and stress that happens when it isn't done right. And that anxiety and stress will be self-directed, and it will also be other-directed. If you don't do it right, I'm going to be equally stressed out and upset and critical of you. So remember, criticism is caring. If I didn't care about your performance, I wouldn't tell you how badly you did it. And I love that example that Lynn Lynn Rose, you gave us about, you know, you caught yourself from criticizing your family members and look how differently they responded, right? It doesn't mean we don't give feedback, but part of the challenge and the struggle and the work of this pattern is to find how do I give helpful feedback without it having that critical edge to it, that criticism edge to it. The wise man woman part is competitive, action oriented, responsible, and reliable. Okay, so we're going to take, let me come out of our share for a minute. We're going to take a little break here for a minute. So how are we doing? Take a couple deep breaths. That was a lot, a big piece there. Any questions before we go into our exercise? Okay, so take a couple deep breaths. This was a lot. And just to, how are you feeling right now? I'm just curious how you all are feeling right now. What's showing up? Let me come out of this. For some reason, I'm not. I'll figure it out on the break. All right, so let's do this. We're going to take a 5-minute break. On the break, I asked you to get, have handy, a bottle of cleaning fluid and a rag. I'll tell you what we're going to do about with that in a minute. But also, if you have it handy, I'd like you to grab a ruler too. So take a little quick break. It's 12:08. We'll come back at, let's come back at 12:15. And then we're going to do something, okay, an exercise with this.